listening to Pathbreakers, an educational podcast featuring people who fight for change. Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Renee, and we're here to share with you one woman's journey in the fight for women's rights and equality, Abigail Scott Duniway.
Abigail Jane Scott was born October 22, 1834, into a world where men dominated. Abigail was the second child born to John and Anne Scott, and on the day she was born, her mother wept.
Isn't the birth of a baby a joyous occasion? Why did her mother weep?
Maybe her mother found her to be a burden because she had no value in the world, except to grow up and have children. Nothing more.
Do you think that's why Abigail went on to fight for women's rights?
Let's find out! At the age of 17, her father decided to move Abigail and her family against their wishes. In 1852, they left their farm in Illinois to settle across the plains in Oregon. Her father ordered that they could only take the essentials. Following her mother's example, who hid her favorite Dutch plates in a mattress, Abigail defied her father and smuggled her treasured spelling book in the bottom of her sewing bag.
Once on the trail, her controlling father assigned Abigail and her 8 siblings specific jobs. Abigail was in charge of keeping the trail journal, which she gladly accepted, until her father dictated the exact entries she was to write in the log. But this was not her worst experience on the trail. Her mother died from cholera halfway into the trip, but the rest of the family reached Oregon safely.
Abigail once remarked to her brother regarding the influence of her mother, "Her memory added to my own experiences and those of our surviving sisters, led me long ago to dedicate these mature years of my life to the enfranchisement of women."
Wow, if only her mother had known the influence she had on Abigail's life, leading her to battle for women everywhere.
You know what else Abigail did because of her mother?
Didn't she change her wedding vows? She omitted the word obey because she remembered the life her mother had lived, obeying her father.
Abigail married Ben Duniway at the age of 18 and began living the life she feared. She had become tied to the house in a mining town full of her husband's bachelor friends, accommodating them in her home. Over the next several years, she became the mother of 6 children. While her married life was in this traditional pattern, Ben was supportive of her independent nature and her later ventures.
She was lucky to find such a supportive husband in those times.
Especially one that took care of the children while she was doing the breadwinning.
What do you mean? Back then, I thought the men were the financial supporters of the family.
Well, her husband was until an accident involving a wagon severely injured him. He could no longer work. This came at a poor time as the family was struggling financially because of some poor business deals her husband signed off on. Times were so bad, they opened their house to boarders. Abigail also returned to teaching, a profession she went into before marrying Ben.
Their roles became reversed. While Ben's injury and poor financial decisions were a burden, they may have been the best thing for Abigail at that time.
And now, Renee, it's time for some interesting Abigail facts. At the age of 25, Abigail published Captain Gray's Company, a story based on her travels west. This was the first book ever published west of the Rocky Mountains by anyone, let alone a woman.
Abigail envied her brother because he was able to attend college at Pacific University.
Abigail's family and friends referred to her as Jenny.
Abigail was self-taught before obtaining a license to teach in Oregon.
Following Ben's injury, Abigail and her family bought a house in Albany, Oregon. Working in her self-owned hat shop, she saw more examples of women who were nearly slaves, at the mercy of their husbands' decisions. Her shop became a local meeting place for women to share their stories of unfair treatment under the current laws. She helped when she could and even sought the help of men in the community.
Abigail once helped a widow settle some legal matters in court. This incident really had an impact on her. Later that night, the following conversation occurred between Ben and Abigail.
Ben, one half of the women are dolls. The rest of them are drudges, and we're all fools.
Don't you know it will never be any better for women until they have the right to vote?
What good would that do?
Can't you see that women do half of the work of the world? And don't you know that if women were voters, there would soon be lawmakers among them? And don't you see that as women do half of the work of the world, besides bearing all the children, they ought to control fully half of the pay?
All of a sudden, everything became clear to Abigail. Women needed the right to vote.
Abigail was 36, and the first thing she did on her quest for woman suffrage was to form the State Equal Suffrage Association with two of her friends. At this time, Abigail traveled to San Francisco, where she was appointed delegate to the California Suffrage Association. After a successful speech, she was offered a job lecturing for a decent salary. However, Ben wrote her, requesting that her family needed her back home.
Putting her family first, she returned home, making a stop at the offices of the Pioneer, a women's rights newspaper, and became an editor. This sparked her thinking about creating her own outlet for change, and newspapers seemed to be an excellent way of accomplishing this.
Besides, she was familiar with newspapers, as her brother Harvey Scott was an editor of the Oregonian. Moving her family to Portland, she printed the first issue of her paper in 1871 and called it the New Northwest. Ben was concerned with the financial burden of her newest crusade for equality. However, she managed to borrow money to buy the necessary equipment and found a house to operate both her paper and hat shop.
Hey, Renee, did you know that Abigail met the famous Susan B. Anthony? She was on a dollar coin.
Yes, but she did much more than pose for a portrait and get her head stamped on a piece of metal. Susan B. Anthony also fought for women's rights. At this time, Susan B. Anthony, along with Elizabeth Cady Stanton, another women's rights activist, were speaking in the West. Abigail invited them to Portland. They asked Abigail to campaign with them in Oregon and Washington.
Wow, I bet they were a great influence, the Three Musketeers of Women's Rights.
Hey, Amanda, it's time for some more Abigail facts. During one of Abigail's speeches at a hotel, the floor collapsed, where our audience fell into a hole below. Undaunted, Abigail finished once everyone was out.
In her paper, Abigail suggested that freckles are caused by the breath of young men who smoke.
On the surface, Abigail and her brother Harvey appeared to get along, but the family knew all too well that they had a deep case of sibling rivalry.
Abigail's only daughter, Clara, battled tuberculosis for 3 years until her death at the age of 31. But supposedly, Abigail said she heard from her a month after her death through private psychics.
Amanda, why were men so opposed to women voting?
Well, I think the major concern was prohibition. On the coattails of women's suffrage, most women activists also wanted to put a stop to alcohol production.
Did Abigail also feel this way?
No. In fact, she was deeply against it. She was only concerned with giving women equal rights, mainly the right to vote. Men were not the only people concerned with women voting. Some women were also against it, because they felt that it was unladylike.
Times were tough yet again for the Dunaways. In hopes of getting rich quick, they purchased land in Idaho, where the railroad was rumored to be built. Ben and their sons moved to the newly purchased land, while Abigail remained in Portland. She began lapsing into a state of depression. The fight for women's suffrage was slowly dwindling because of the concern about prohibition, and she missed her family greatly.
Deciding she needed a break, she sold her paper in 1887 and joined her family in Idaho. Unfortunately, their pattern of business ventures gone wrong continued. Realizing they were not going to make their fortune, they returned to Portland. The family resumed their busy lifestyle, and Abigail rejoined the cause. However, tragedy struck again when Ben fell ill and died. But she continued on in her fight and directed 6 suffrage campaigns from 1887 to 1912.
After several failed attempts to pass a women's suffrage bill, she finally saw her dream come true. In 1912, the bill was passed that gave women the right to vote in Oregon. She stood by the governor's side as the bill was signed and sealed. She became the first woman to vote in the state of Oregon. 2 years later, Abigail Scott Duniway died at the age of 81.
Wow. Could you imagine what our lives would be like if women were not allowed to vote?
It would be a different world. But thanks to the fight of people like Abigail, women can vote and share equal status with men.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast about an amazing leader and activist, Abigail Scott Duniway. But before we sign off, we'd like to leave you with a quote from the lady herself.
The young women of today, free to study, to speak, to write, to choose their own occupation, should remember that every inch of this freedom was bought for them at a great price. It is for them to show their gratitude by helping onward the reforms of their own times, by spreading the light of freedom and of truth still wider. The debt that each generation owes to the past, it must pay to the future.